It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, and we're finishing up the 10th chapter. We're going to start with verse 20, Romans chapter 10, verse 20. And if you'd please open your Bibles to that text, and we'll begin there. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And, of course, that's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone number here at the church, 217-847-2717. That's 847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. Please that you would visit that site and enjoy it. Learn of the Lord Jesus, be saved, be born again, and also that you can grow. That's the purpose of the site, so please that you would enjoy it. And also, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either is just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not that the Scripture saith of Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and have digged down thine altars, and have left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto them, unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What a scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the opportunity today to read this precious word. I just ask that you will guide and lead us today. Direct us through your word, that each time that we open your precious book, that we will look to it and understand it and receive your power and your strength. We know, Father, that there's only one way that that work can begin, and that is if we know you as our Lord and Savior. And the only way we can know you as our Lord and Savior is to come to know your Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross for us to save us. And Father, please, that all that are listening will come by faith to you, They will believe the words today that are proclaimed through your word. Trust in them, trust in you, knowing that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross for them. And didn't just die on the cross, didn't just take their sin away, but rose again 3 days later and is alive and is right hand of you right now, Father. Thank you. Please now that you would guide and lead us and touch every heart and bring salvation into the hearts of those that are lost today. Please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This study today is dealing with and has been dealing with Israel and concerning their desire to add works to salvation. And we just continue to battle back and forth with these words. And it's so sad because most places today that call themselves churches have added works to their doctrine. And so it is no longer grace. And Paul tells us that. And he says, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is not more of works, no more of works. And please understand that. Don't latch something on to the salvation that is a free gift given to us by from our God and by our God. Please don't do that. You're taking salvation away when you add works to it. It is a free gift. It is given to you, and you receive it. If you receive it, you will have it eternally because then God seals you. So not only is a free gift given, but it's also a gift that is kept by our God, never to be taken away. So you see, if you believe you're saved by grace, just asking Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you, and you turn to Him, then if there's nothing you can do to save yourself, then why do you think there's anything you can do to keep that precious gift? And yet most do. They attach baptism or church membership or many other things that they attach to that. Then it becomes works. If it's works, it's no longer grace. If it's no longer grace, it's no longer salvation. If no longer salvation, you're not saved. You're lost, dying and going to hell no matter how much you work. Please come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him. Now, with this in mind, understand that as we look back, because what has happened, the Jews have no longer held on to save by grace because they were saved by grace. The difference, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, where we look back to where Jesus has died on the cross and saved us, bought us with His own life, with His own precious blood, and we have salvation because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and again, the work that He did on the cross. But the Jews, they continued not only to reject the thought of the Savior, they have lost many, many years ago what the sacrifices and offerings stood for, the altar, the laver, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the incense altar, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat. They long forgot that showed them a picture of the Lord Jesus, the coming Messiah. That's what it stood for in the start, and that's what it stands for today. And so it's never changed, but they missed that. And see, if they would have held knowing that was just a picture, that was just an example, something to remind them that the Savior is coming, and I need to believe and by faith be saved. And they repeated this every year, these offerings and sacrifices, because Jesus had not completed the work on Calvary. But when He did, it was finished, no longer to do the offerings and the sacrifices. but they held with it. And not only did they follow after these things, they also begin to worship many things that the heathen worshiped, those that were of the world. And Isaiah got to a place here where he believed there was no one but him. And so we find that Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And so, you see, we have folks coming here that they that in the scripture here, them that saw me not, found him. You know, we need to understand that what has taken place here, because of Israel's disobedience, those that they were to rule over, which was the Canaanites, they were to destroy them to start with, but they were to rule over them, Israel was. Instead of that, God has turned the side, and so many enemies have been empowered by God because of the disobedience of Israel. And instead of the Canaanites ruling over, why, the Canaanites begin to be their rule. And it says, but, you know, to understand here, but to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands. Now, that's in verse 21. And he said, but to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God never stopped pleading with them. He kept begging them. He kept bringing them. He kept showing them his power and his strength. He kept sending prophets. He kept sending those folks to show and to give an example of something that no one in this world could do, and yet they still continued to reject and went after other gods. And then it says here, but God still calls them his people, because if you'll notice here, in the verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. If you look back up in verse 19, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. By a foolish nation I will anger you. By no people. Again, under the rule of someone else. The most important people in the heart of God was the nation of Israel, and still is. If you're a Jew, God loves you. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for you. You have missed him, but he is still there calling you. So please come. Please come. The sad thing is that the nation of Israel was set aside. As we look at the next few verses here that we have read down through verse 12, we've got just a little bit of a summary. But first, we need to realize that in the Old Testament, God promised Israel leadership or headship as concerning the worship of God. They were the leaders. They were the ones that was to bring God to a lost and dying world. This place was held for them from the days of Moses until the days of Paul. That was their responsibility. It was their opportunity to bring salvation that God offers to the world, to the heathen, so to speak, to the Gentiles. But instead of that, they added rules and regulations, began to worship other gods themselves, and they did not do the job that they were to do. And so God set them aside, and he turned then and gave it to the church, that responsibility. And so we find now that God was using Paul here in these verses of Scripture to explain, to show that he is transferring that leadership to another nation. He is not eliminating Israel, but he is transferring that leadership, that responsibility over to another nation, and that is, we'll talk about a spiritual nation, that be the church. Now let's go back to Matthew, because in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. See, that's what God wanted Israel to do, but they didn't. So it was taken from them, as the scripture says, and it was given to the church. A spiritual nation composed of saved people, called from all people, not the nation of Israel. Now, the nation of Israel can be part of that if they will come, if you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus today, not still looking for him. He's come. He's come to save you. I know you were looking for a king, and he will come and rule as a king. But first he came as a savior, and we need to trust in him and call on his name for salvation. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I know you can hear the pages here. I hope that it gives you opportunity and time as well to look these verses up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, it's been taken from Israel. It's been taken from you if you're a Jew, as far as the national responsibility of giving out the word of God. And he has handed that responsibility and that opportunity to the church, born-again believers. Not all churches, not all places are born-again believers. You must come by faith of the Lord Jesus. Many places, many churches do not preach the gospel. They do not tell people how to be saved. They have never witnessed someone truly being born again. They're very religious, work very hard, but they are not born again. And if you have rejected the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, maybe you've never heard it before till now, well, you're hearing it now. Come by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The church, for the present time, has displaced Israel in the leadership of God's worship in the world. The church has taken now that responsibility. We come now to the first verse of chapter 11. And again, as I said a little bit earlier there, there's a little bit of a survey that we're going to look at. And then we'll get down into the scripture here, verse by verse, as we always do. But understand that here Isaiah was very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. You see, the word was proclaimed, and Israel didn't listen. It continues that same thought, and even to Israel he said, God said to him, all day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. He does continue to call them. But he calls them now by grace through the church, not as he did before. Now, there's going to be a time that that's going to return, and we'll get to that here probably in a few visits. But today we won't quite get that far. But the question comes in, I say then, hath God cast away his people? And Paul says, God forbid. He goes on to say, I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, Paul, on the road to Damascus, was born again. He was a Jew of all Jews. And he continued to believe in the works that the church had, that the Israelites, that they had come up with. All those traditions, all those demands upon the law, he was abiding by those. And God took his word, and he knocked on Paul's heart's door, and Paul responded. Paul was born again. That does not mean he's not an Israelite, but it means he's a born-again Israelite. He is a saved Israelite, and you can be too. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus. Paul was a Jew. Paul came by faith to the Lord Jesus and is saved. That's proof that the nation of Israel is still in existence. For also am I an Israelite. You see, he does not stop being an Israelite, but he does stop abiding by the laws and the rules that the Jews have established upon their own. Because you see, God completed that, finished that when Jesus died on the cross. And so we have here by this statement that there is proof that there is still a remnant. And it also speaks here in the 2nd through the 6th verse, and we're going to read and study these, but this is just kind of a survey, that the present condition of the Jews is a national, it's the whole nation is a nation of unbelief. Individuals can be saved and born again of the Jews, as anyone can be. I don't care color, nationality. God died, Jesus died for all, and you can be born again. You can be saved. I don't care if you have been in a dead church all of your life, but now you're hearing the gospel. I ask that you will respond to that and come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Again, this section here, you know, speaks of the remnant. It proves that God has not, there's still a remnant, God has not cast out Israel forever. The present condition of the Jews is a national unbelief. And then from verse 7 through 10, we saw the prophesying and how that Israel's unbelief is the Gentiles' opportunity. The blindness of the Jews has brought life to the Gentiles. In the end, the nation will be born in a day, and God will restore all the glory back to Israel. But for now, it has been set aside. And the church is proclaiming the very word that should have been proclaimed by Israel. You see, if Israel would have proclaimed the word of God, sought after the wisdom of the prophets, listened to the prophets, followed what they were saying, followed God's word, they would have been triumphant and would have enjoyed a blessed life. But instead of that, they have been set aside and they have been hunted and hated through all these generations. It's because they have rejected God. They've rejected God. Now, in this first verse, it says, I say, or chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, I say then, God hath cast away his people. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Understand, because many have confused this fact. Many believe that the church has become Israel. It has not. Not in any way, shape, or form. If you believe that, you've been deceived. Because the church is not Israel. Israel is going to be gathered and called back. They are gathering right now. God, back in 1948, gave them their land back. And they have begun to gather together. And there's going to be a time of reunion, of joining back together completely. So please don't ever consider the fact, and many do, and please, I ask you that you study your precious word, and you'll find that that's not true, that we have not become Israel. We have not taken Israel's place as far as the nation is concerned. We have taken their place in furthering the gospel, in taking out the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus as they were supposed to do. Now we have that responsibility. But the nation of Israel still exists. The church did not become Israel. The church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the head and the Savior of the body is Christ. The church did not inherit the promises made to Abraham. You see, they were promised a land. The church has never been promised a land. We have been promised eternal life. We have been promised salvation. We have been promised so much. But we have not been promised a land as the nation of Israel was promised. And that promise is still there. And there'll be a time when they will fully be restored into that land, the full land that God had given them. And so understand that again, the church is not the same as Israel. The church did not become Israel. The church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, the head of the body. And again, the church did not inherit the promises made to Abraham. To Abraham was promised again a land, a kingdom, and a king. And that will come. That will come. But Jesus is not the king of the church. He is the head of the church. Now, we have some verses of Scripture that I want to read, and I'm not sure we're going to get through all of them, for the day, I'm afraid, has slipped away, as is often does. But we're to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all, is Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. But now Ephesians chapter 5 really helps us too to understand this. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Remember, we talk about how the laver in the tabernacle, they would come to wash, and that's how we become cleansed, is by the word of God. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, I'm sure that there are many places and many churches who never read that scripture verse because of the situation with the homosexuals and same-sex marriage and all those things. God hates that. He loves the sinner, but he hates that sin. And we need to understand that. A man and a woman become one in marriage, period. And for anyone to change what is natural is devil-driven without question. And so if you bought into this, it's a lie that the devil has started and you're following after the devil. God's word is true. And we're going to pick up here concerning Christ and the church next week, next time we come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?